We begin the Warren County Radio Bible School again this morning with a Bible question. So class, get your thinking caps on. Some of you will know the answer to this question. When God came into the Garden of Eden seeking for Adam and Eve after they had sinned, they were ashamed because they were naked, and they tried to make themselves aprons out of leaves. Now, what kind of leaves did they use to dress themselves in the Garden of Eden when they heard God coming in the cool of the day? Now, we'll have the answer to that question in just a moment. The Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. Now the question is, when Adam and Eve tried to sew leaves together to make themselves aprons and hide their nakedness, what kind of leaves did they grab for? Well, the answer is found in Genesis chapter 3, verses 7 and 8. And the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of God, Jehovah God, walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid himself from the presence of God among the trees of the garden. Fig leaves. Sometime I want you to go to a fig tree and look at the leaves. They would not make very good garments. And so you wonder why, of all the leaves available in the garden, would they choose fig leaves? And I sometimes wonder if it wasn't because maybe they panicked, and that's just the leaves that they could have grabbed at the time, and they tried to string them together right quick to hide their sinful nakedness from God. Man is so foolish in the way he tries to deal with his sin and is incapable of dealing with sin on his own properly. We must follow the things that God has said, and God shows us how to hide the shame of our sin in the right way. It requires repentance and obedience to God and faithfulness to Him with humility. Well, in the purity and innocence of Adam and Eve, their nakedness did not appear. To the pure, all things are pure. But to them that are defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure. But both their mind and their conscience are defiled, Titus chapter 1 and verse 15. The eyes of Adam and Eve were now open to sin by experience. They recognized their shame. And Jehovah God said, "Behold, the man has become of one of us to know good and evil," Genesis 3:22. There was a temptation in the Garden of Eden. The tree so used by Satan was not placed there to induce man to sin. It was for his strength and test of his obedience to God. Why should eating of this fruit bring death? It was disobedience to God which brought sin and death. Rebellion against God is the great sin. Instead of living in obedience to God and in happiness under His rule, man turned from God to follow Satan. Through Jesus Christ, God is leading men back to implicit obedience to Him. Submission to God's will is man's only peace and salvation. In many ways and through numerous examples, God is seeking patiently to teach the race this most necessary lesson. To God's rule, man must submit. Man changed rulers. God for Satan when he transgressed in the garden, and this brought a curse upon the earth and sin and death to the man. The way back to God is obedience to His will through faith in Jesus Christ. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21. Sin makes man ashamed and afraid. Genesis chapter 3, verses 9 through 11. And Jehovah called unto the man, and he said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree which I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And Jehovah God said unto the woman, What is this thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. Adam and Eve hid themselves from the presence of Jehovah God because they were ashamed. Sin makes them ashamed. Men love darkness rather than light because their works were evil. John 3:19. Hope putteth not to shame. Romans 5:5. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear. 1 John 4:18. There is no place where one can hide from God. Sin makes people foolish because it makes them think they can hide from God. The question, Where art thou, will bring every sinner from his hiding place. We read in Numbers chapter 32 and verse 23, Be sure your sin will find you out. Reader, listener, student in this class, where art thou? On the road to heaven or hell? Where art thou in the course of spiritual development? Sin makes afraid. I was afraid, Adam said. Adam made no confession of his sin, but he said he was afraid because he was naked. The Lord probed him with another question. Who told thee that thou wast naked? This was an unconscious confession that he had done wrong. Adam blamed his environment for his sin. First his wife, and indirectly God. The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. We should learn not to blame others for our sin. Now we read in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 13 that Jehovah God said to the woman, What is this thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And Jehovah God said to the serpent, Because thou hast done this thing, cursed art thou above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. He shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy pain and thy conception. In pain shalt thou bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, Because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and have eaten of the tree which I commanded thee, saying, Thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake, and toil shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return to the ground, for out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. Eve blamed the serpent. These are facts. The serpent beguiled Eve, and she gave of the fruit to Adam, and he ate. But they did not escape punishment. They should not have sinned. Sin is yet deceitful. We read in Hebrews chapter 3, 12 through 13 about the deceitfulness of sin. It deceives in every way possible. But being deceived or blinded by sin does not free one from its awful consequences. Romans 6 and verse 23. The wages of sin is death. While we cannot say for certain how the serpent traveled before this, it seems he went upright, and through him Satan talked. Now he is cursed above all cattle and every beast of the field. Instead of above the margin in the version used in preparing these lessons, that the American Standard Version says from above all cattle and every beast, upon thy belly shalt thou go. And thus shalt thou lead all the days of thy life. We read in Isaiah 65 and verse 25, and dust shall be the serpent's food. There is a natural antipathy between a serpent and a man. The serpent is a synonym for the sly, mean, and vile. There is everlasting conflict between right and wrong. He shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. This no doubt refers to the conflict between Satan and Christ, and is a promise that Christ would gain the victory for man's salvation. The seed of the woman must mean Christ, and the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. Romans chapter 16 and verse 20. Now, at the end of this little Sunday school lesson, there is a rhyme from Tennyson and a poem from one identified as Faber. Let me read these to you. From Tennyson, "For a lie, which is a half the truth, is ever the greatest of lies. Since a lie which is all a lie may be met and fought outright, but a lie which is part of truth is a harder matter to fight." And then this from Faber. "Workman of God, oh, lose not heart, but learn what God is like. And in the darkest battlefield thou shalt know where to strike. Thrice blessed is he to whom is given the instinct that can tell that God is on the field when he is most invisible. Blessed, too, is he who can divine where real right doth lie, and dares to take the side that seems wrong to man's blindfold eye. For right is right, since God is God, and right the day must win. To doubt would be disloyalty, to falter would be sin." I turn the page in my old Sunday school book, and I find here a Sunday school lesson that was prepared for the Sunday schools of April the 25th, 1926. It is the story of Cain and Abel. The golden text for this Sunday school lesson is, "Am I my brother's keeper?" Genesis 4 and verse 16. The devotional reading is 1 John chapter 4, and I'll begin reading in verse 7. "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is begotten of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Herein was the love of God manifested in us, that God hath sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another. No man hath beheld God at any time. If we love one another, God abideth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby we know that we abide in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. And we have beheld and bear witness that the Father hath sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoso shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God abideth in him, and he in God." We'll continue this in our next class.